This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. There is a growing awareness about what is inappropriate when it comes to cultural appropriation and what goes too far. Why is that? And why do we want to talk about that right now? It's because it can get tricky, especially during trick-and-treat season. Context is critical, and for some, there is no good context because of all the history that's behind it and can be so awful. Megyn Kelly, the now formerly of NBC, found that out with her recent comments about blackface.
What is racist? Because truly, you do get in trouble if you are a white person who puts on blackface on Halloween, or a black person who puts on whiteface for Halloween. Like, when I was a kid, that was okay as long as you were dressing up as, like, a character.
If somebody feels like something is offensive to them, then you should say it, and that's fair game.
And you should be able
to take it if you're going to dress up like that.
Yeah, you got to be able to take it.
Yeah. One of the things they mentioned is people dressing up like Nazis and this. If you think it's offensive, it probably is.
Yep.
Well, those comments about blackface cost Kelly her job and sparked a national conversation about what Halloween costumes are or are not appropriate. And with us to talk about that this afternoon, we're joined by Susan Scafidi. She's a law professor at Fordham University, author of Who Owns Culture, Appropriation and Authenticity in American Law. Also, Charisse Smith, author and chair of the African and African Diaspora Studies at the University of Texas at Austin. We ask for your phone calls and comments. We want you to join our conversation. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980, and email us at thesource@tpr.org, tweet at us at tprsource. So not to be dense, but I really kind of want to dive into this awful topic here about what did Megyn Kelly say that was so that she lost her job. This thing about blackface, there's a lot behind it. There's a lot of history here. And I think that comes with all this whenever we talk about it. So let's start off with Susan. Can you talk about the history? And we'll hear more from Charisse.
David, thank you for having me on air this afternoon. It's a pleasure. Although, of course, the context is rather grim, right? Halloween should be a joyful holiday, but this particular comment, as you pointed out, was pretty egregious in terms of crossing the line. Because when we think about blackface, and I'm sure that Professor Smith will have a great deal more to say, we think about a history of derision, going back to minstrelsy and stereotyping of people as ignorant or criminal or lazy. Wearing blackface today is a direct callback to all of that really harmful history that lives on in current instances of racism. And so that's the concern about turning this holiday, Halloween, when people dress up as historically as ghosts and demons and ghouls, into a holiday where at least one celebrity's commentator says it's okay to dress as someone darker than you are as well. Those are just not costumes that should be placed next to one another. And so that's, I think, the nut of the concern.
Right. So, Professor Charisse Smith, it sounds like a dumb question, but I think we need to talk about the why and all this stuff. So can you help us understand why is even talking about dressing up in blackface a bad thing?
Well, first off, good afternoon, and thank you for having me. To answer your question, the real problem is about power dynamics and historic power imbalances. And so minstrelsy was, in the very beginnings, white actors and entertainers putting on blackface to deride African Americans back in the 19th century. Then at some point in the late 19th, early 20th century, African American entertainers were then forced themselves to don blackface to then deride themselves. And so it is a very fraught history that that constitutes blackface. But it has never gone away. One of the things that continues to kind of appall me is how often it shows up in cartoons. And very often it will happen in sunglass advertisements, sometimes in makeup advertisements, separate from costumes that we see happening during Halloween. So it continues to be fairly ubiquitous with these kind of flashes of crisis happening around them.
And so I don't want to just beat up on Megyn Kelly. And to clarify, her show was canceled, but Megyn Kelly is still an employee with NBC News. But when she talked about whiteface, is that a thing, Professor Smith?
It's really not. It's really not a thing of black people putting on whiteface to look like white people. Oftentimes, black people might put on a white mask, which only enhanced their blackness to their detriment. Now, I will tell you to think back to times of Eddie Murphy in Coming to America, for example. There's a fantastic scene in a barbershop when Eddie Murphy plays maybe four different characters, and if a couple of them are white characters, in which he's in full kind of latex mask and costume, that might be called whiteface, though not exactly to what Megyn Kelly was referring to. But certainly there are instances of African American entertainers, as I mentioned, Eddie Murphy, doing those kinds of impersonations.
Right. And so, Susan, you wanted to add to that?
Oh, I did. Only to add that in the context of costume, you do have individuals who are whitening their faces, perhaps to play a clown or a mime, something along those lines, but it's not the same racial valence.
Yes.
Right. So it seemed like a kind of a weird thing to throw in there that Megyn Kelly was sort of kind of having a both sides sort of presentation of the argument. But really what we want to dig into is about Halloween. And a lot of people dress up, and there's a lot of cultural appropriation. People will put on a Native person's headdress, and that will be something. But they don't understand everything that comes along with all of these costuming and caricatures that they take from culture, and why that is somehow a negative. So, Susan Scafidi, can you talk about that?
Absolutely. So when I think about costuming and what would raise at least a yellow flag, an invitation to run and learn more before going ahead and masquerading, I come back to a rule of three S's. One, consider the source. Are we dealing with a community that has historically experienced oppression or discrimination in some form? Next, the significance of what you're borrowing or taking. And finally, similarity. How similar is what you're about to wear to the original? And what you've referred to, David, if I may, is significance, right? If someone is putting on a feathered war bonnet and going out masquerading for Halloween, they're really missing the point that those feathers in traditional culture, first of all, are not worn by all Native American nations, and second of all, are not merely plucked but earned, much the way that someone in the military might earn medals. They stand for different kinds of achievement. Once upon a time in warfare, in that context, and now for many more modern achievements. And so they're really very special and not just meant for a night out or a music festival, for that matter.
Right. And is taking these things for a get up for a party, how is that actually treating that culture? Are you treating it with respect? Are you treating it with mockery? What does that mean to a person that is their culture, that is their identity? We'll talk more about that, how people should gain a better appreciation, how they can do that. If you've got a question or a comment, give us a call. 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The source continues right after this.
One of the great parts of sitting in this chair each day is getting to discuss different points of view. Sometimes I talk and sometimes I listen. And yesterday I learned. I learned that given the history of blackface being used in awful ways by racists in this country, it is not okay for that to be part of any costume, Halloween or otherwise.
That was Megyn Kelly giving her apology after her talking about blackface in an earlier episode of her program on NBC. That show's now been canceled. We're talking about cultural appropriation versus appreciation. What are the do's and don'ts? What are some of the questions that you should be asking yourself as you shop around for your Halloween costume? The number to call in is 210-614-8980. And I've Eric is on the line. And Eric, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call in. pretty shortly. I just want to comment on the comment that they said that if a white person or white people put on a black mask or something, it's offensive, and I understand that. I'm not white, I'm Mexican. But what do you say to those people that two African-American brothers make a movie called White Chicks where they portray two white female and they make fun of their, I guess, stupidity, and nobody raised a finger, nobody says anything. And to me, actually, that movie was hilarious. And it's very, very funny. Every time I see it, I laugh.
All right.
But I don't see anyone saying anything.
Right. So, Eric, you bring up a great point because different people in our culture have different roles. Megyn Kelly had a role, and the comedians in that movie have a role. It's this, and that's all part of the context and how we process this stuff. And so let me go to Professor Cherise Smith. She's the author and chair of African and African Diaspora Studies at the University of Texas at Austin.
Hi. Yes. So, yes, I think the movie that he's referring to is White Girls. I don't remember the year, but it is a Wayans Brothers movie. And they are well known for making spoofs and satires of the Scream movies, for example, and other scary movies. And it is true that there was not really a controversy surrounding that film. And they did, one can argue, take shots at a stereotype, the stereotype of a not very smart blonde woman, I think is what their characters were. And so I take the point of the caller, and I would also kind of go back to the question of power, who holds power, and what a power imbalance is, one, but also the role of comedians in such kind of letting off of steam interculturally and culturally. It is complicated, and I think that one of the big concerns is whether one is kind of at Halloween or some other time acting like a character or acting like a stereotype. And generally, the dressing up as a stereotype, whether that is a Native American princess, quote unquote, a quote-unquote thug, for example. I think that's one of the ways that people find themselves getting into hot water, and that is acting like a stereotype, dressing up like a stereotype, which is just kind of adding insult to an already injurious characterization.
Okay, another caller, Kathy. Kathy, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, I really find it very difficult to believe that in America, which all four of the men in my family have fought to protect, America, we are trying to squelch free speech. We are saying if it's offensive to somebody, you can't do it. We actually are given the right to be offensive, not that we want to be, but especially if it's not intentional. What we do in America is say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend anybody, but we don't punish them for it, especially if it's unintentional. And all this dressing up is free speech. In some cases, like my mother gave me a beautiful kimono and that we got in Japan. Now, if I wore that kimono because it's lovely and I want to say it wasn't this beautiful way of the Japanese dressing, somebody might say you are culturally appropriating something else that you shouldn't. I'm thinking, you've got to be kidding. Our country was founded on the principle of free speech.
Kathy, thank you so much for the call. One of our guests is Susan Scafidi. She's a law professor at Fordham University, author of Who Owns Culture, Appropriation and Authenticity in American Law. So can you help talk to Kathy?
Absolutely. And Kathy, you may be surprised that I agree with much of what you're saying in the sense that you're right, the government cannot squelch free speech and, in fact, does not do so in the case of cultural appropriation. You just said that if we in America offend someone and we realize that we've done so after the fact, we apologize. And I think that that's a great lesson for the field or the area of cultural appropriation. No one can possibly possibly be familiar with every culture out there. But when we realize that we've done something offensive, then usually we step back and we reconsider our actions. So you mentioned Japanese culture. If I inadvertently walked into a Japanese home with my shoes on, I would, I'm sure, very quickly realize that that was a mistake. And of course, I would apologize and take off my shoes. But if I walked into your house or you walked into mine, we probably wouldn't immediately take our shoes off, certainly not without asking permission or saying something about it. With your respect to your kimono, I think that, too, is a matter of context. I think there are probably very many Japanese people who would be delighted to see you wear a kimono respectfully, maybe to a wedding, particularly if the couple getting married were Japanese, something like that. So there are appropriate contexts for
like Mickey Rooney's portrayal in Breakfast at Tiffany's, you know, that is a deliberate mocking of a cultural representation. And today it seems like we're if you try to go out and like that, yeah, that's a negative. You're mocking a culture, a people. But if you try to honor it, and then that you know, is that better? So Professor Smith?
I think that it is. I absolutely agree with Susan's assessment that wearing a kimono in context and in support of the kind of culture it represents is perfectly acceptable and, in fact, something that people would certainly appreciate, the efforts that someone went to show their appreciation for a culture. Now, you know, the problem might arise if the kimono was worn with other additional accoutrements, say, for example, a black wig or perhaps makeup that made one's face look like it was Asian or Japanese, or darkening one's skin by wearing concealer or some kind of makeup that made them try to look as though they were more Japanese. Now that would be probably erring on the side of mocking.
I want to talk about kids. You know, children love to play dress up. Halloween, this is for kids. And many kids, they're without malice. They just want to have fun. They're not, all this other stuff doesn't enter into their world, right, Susan?
Well, I think that kids can be as mocking as anyone else as they get older. But you're right. I think by and large, Halloween is often a very joyful holiday for children, and that sometimes there is a possibility that kids can cross lines that adults might find questionable and they don't particularly realize might be questionable, right? Dressing up across racial lines as a favorite superhero, for example.
Okay, so like Cherise Smith, like if a child wanted to dress up as the Black Panther, which is a huge movie and an incredible hero being portrayed now. I mean, it should be any kid who wants to do that can be able to do that, right?
Absolutely. And they should. Any kid who wants to be Superman, regardless of their ethno-racial background, should do it. And any kid who wants to be Killmonger or Black Panther, regardless of their ethno-racial background or gender for that matter, should do it. Now, the addition of a kind of darkening of skin in order, or a lightening of skin in order to take on that character, that doesn't necessarily need to happen. And that's a tricky space.
All right, I'm going to get a caller. Hey, Jimmy. Jimmy, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
So y'all basically just kind of touched on it, but I basically wanted to say I thought it's an excellent conversation to be having, but we really do need to be careful. You basically just talked about it. You would never want to tell a young black kid, sorry, you can't be Spider-Man because Spider-Man's white, type of thing.
He could be Miles Morales.
Well, yeah, that's right. Miles Morales will let you know the Spider-Man. That's correct. So that's basically what I wanted to say. We want to worry about cultural appropriation, but don't take it so far to the point where we're really telling specifically kids what they can and can't do within reason.
All right. So I'm going to go to another caller, and this is Sarah. Hey, Sarah, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to mention that these blackface minstrel show type of characters are also still very pervasive in other cultures, including countries such as Russia and other Eastern European countries. And for example, specifically in Hispanic culture, they still have these minstrel show type blackface characters as the mascots for major commercial brands, from everything from food products to hair products. And moreover, some of the hair products that are geared towards the Afro-Latino culture are even given very derisive, racially derisive names. But again, it's those minstrel show characters that are brand names in Hispanic culture. And right. I also wanted to mention that the reason why the Wayans Brothers movie, I think it was called White Chicks, was not, I wouldn't say that it was very racially insensitive towards whites. The reason why it was not is because generally white people don't have the history of racial discrimination in this country the way that African Americans do.
Thank you for your calls. And let me go to Katie. And Katie, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. Well, if you look at the costumes that children mainly wear at Halloween, you don't see anybody dressed up in, say, a cedar chopper or any other sort of negative costume like that. So you don't see people dressing. You see people dressing up in costumes that put them in a good light, whether it's a witch with power or a ghost that has power or the Ninja Turtles or stuff, things like that. So I don't even know why Megyn Kelly would bring that up, because nobody wants to put on a costume that puts them in a negative light. I mean, what if black people dress like cedar choppers and rednecks?
All right, Katie, thank you for calling in. Cedar Choppers, for those who don't know, is an offshoot of Appalachian Irish that settled in the Hill Country, and they made their living by chopping cedar. So is that true, Cherise Smith, that people look for power in their costumes?
I think that the color has a point there, but maybe in relation to kids, but then when you're thinking about young people in college, for example, or young adults, that sometimes goes a different direction. And oftentimes in dressing up as a character or a stereotype that is different from them, whether it's a quote-unquote thug or a quote-unquote gangbanger, and they are themselves of a different culture, they are in fact supporting and or showing their own strength and different from a culture that is beneath them. So I think with kids, it's showing their power by embracing it. And then sometimes with young adults, it is showing their power by showing their difference from something that they are not.
Right. And so as you put together your getup for Halloween night, Susan Scafidi, people need to ask what questions?
Well, first of all, is it creative, right? Am I showing myself in my best light in that regard? Is it celebratory of the event? But to avoid any transgressions that might be inadvertent, to ask, would I be comfortable around people from the particular group from whom I'm borrowing costume elements, right? If someone who was from that particular culture saw me in this costume and it was a friend of mine, would I be embarrassed? Would I feel the need to have to explain?
Exactly.
We're
running out of time. I want to thank our guest, Susan Scafidi, law professor at Fordham University, author of Who Owns Culture, and Professor Cherise Smith. She's the author and chair of African and African Diaspora Studies at UT Austin. When we come back, we're talking about the propositions on the ballot, ABC. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.